shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt. And today my special guest is a former UKIP MEP, a Scottish MEP, and of course, been very, very involved in Brexit over the last few years. His name is David Coburn, and I'm delighted to say he joins us now.
Shooting from the Lip.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Gaunty.
Okay, let's start with Brexit. Boris says last night he's done Brexit. Is he right? And are we definitely getting out on the 31st of this month?
Well, I very much hope so. He seems quite determined to do so. He's put his hat on that particular nail, so he really has to perform. He's going to have Nigel breathing down his neck if he doesn't, but I think he will. I think I have great confidence in Boris getting on with this, and I think very much the case that he has to put pressure on the European Union. They will try to fiddle around as much as they can, delay, obfuscate, whatever. I think he has to threaten them with leaving the European Union without a deal. It's the only way you can actually make sure that they press on ahead. Fear of Ireland having a financial problem if we leave without a deal is going to focus their minds greatly.
Do you think with the majority he's now got in Parliament, it strengthens his hand? Are we going to get a harder Brexit than we could have predicted before December the 12th?
I think so. I think he's going to go for a hard Brexit because he knows that he has to have a harder Brexit in order to make the money, to get the opportunity we require to be able to do our own trade with around the world. He must do that to get the benefits of Brexit. Otherwise, it's not going to go well. It's going to fail.
OK, it's very interesting. You mentioned Nigel Farage, and I saw some of your tweets last week. There is a chance, of course, the Brexit Party could vote against the deal when the EU meet again next week. What do you make of that threat?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Brexit Party per se. I was a UKIP man, and I think that they did most of the heavy lifting. And the Brexit Party obviously has helped putting that threat on Boris, but it all seems all over the place. I think they need to just go with this deal and go straight with it. I don't think it's what people want. We cannot continue this nonsense much longer. It's in the interest of the country to get it done, and we must show united face.
OK, a united face. Now, Nigel Farage has also said he's going to put the Brexit Party in cold storage and just have it there as a threat to Boris Johnson. What on earth is he on about?
Well, I think the idea is that, as long as the Conservatives are walking the plank and they've got someone with a sword behind them, poking them in the small of their back, they will push ahead with Brexit. I think he's obviously concerned, as am I and others, that if anything happened to Boris or anything, the Conservatives might not push through, then there might be a change of the way things are run in the Conservative Party. We wouldn't want that. So the threat is always Brexit Party or something else that, as a threat to the Conservative Party's rule of the country, and that they could be defeated in the election, is always a good thing to have in cold storage.
How much credit should Nigel Farage take for achieving Brexit as an individual, do you think?
Well, I think tremendous amount. I mean, he's been instrumental in this. He held UKIP together. I mean, lots of other people have had a hand in it. And, there have been lots of people in UKIP over the years who've been pushing, who worked very hard, who've given up a lot of their time, their money, to make sure we got Brexit. So, Nigel led UKIP very, very well. But he has to take that great deal of credit for leading the charge.
Do you think history will look back on him kindly?
I think it will. Whether his contemporaries will is another matter. I don't think they're going to give him a period or anything like that. I think he'll be very lucky if he gets that. But I don't think his contemporaries no man's ever a hero to his valley. I just don't think he's popular with the Conservative Party because he forced them into the position they're in now.
He solved the European question for the Tories, one could say. Now, there's talk about him going off to America. I was talking to Nathan Gill last week, and he says that he will go and help Trump on his election. Do you think that'll happen?
Yes, I think it's probably something he'd be interested in. I'm sure President Trump would like to see him on the campaign trail. I think it would probably help them a bit, lend some of his gloss and some of his star quality to the Trump campaign. They have a lot in common. I think it'd be good for Nigel.
Okay, there's some talk about him maybe going in the I'm a Celebrity jungle. Would you like to see him eat a kangaroo's testicle?
No, I think he's more of a sort of Boysdale sort of man. I think normally see him eating testicles more like Aberdeen Angus steak is more his cup of tea, as you think. I'm not sure if he's doing that sort of thing.
But seriously, what can he do now? He's fulfilled his political ambition. It's over, isn't it? Time to move on. Maybe go on the speaking circuit in America and indeed help Trump. If he wants to do celebrity shows, on you go. But his political career is over, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I think maybe at the moment it's not working too well, or you know, it's not much happening because he's achieved his objective. But I think what he could do, and I'd be the first to push him into doing that, is doing TV, do radio, become a political commentator. I think that he could have a lot more influence with that, as you do yourself. You know, that's where he can have a lot of influence. You know, his radio shows get a big audience and very, very popular. You know, that's where you should stay relevant. And, you know, I hope he stays in the UK long term. Obviously, it'd be good if he got involved in the Trump campaign short term. But, you know, I think staying in the UK and staying in the public arena is a good thing for the country. And it certainly frightens the Conservatives.
I think you make a really good point as well, that actually with his LBC show and his TV appearances, he's often more important and definitely more influential than a backbench MP. Because even if the Conservatives had him in their party or became a peer, he would not have that kind of influence. And that's part of this changing world, isn't it? Politics is no longer really centred on Westminster. What do you think about that?
I agree with that. I think that he'd have much more influence if he gets stuck into a journalistic career, TV, radio, media, internet, all that sort of thing. I think he'd have a lot more influence and, quite frankly, scare the living daylights out of Boris and everybody else. I think we need that. I think we need Nigel as a conscience of the nation.
Do you think politics is broken? And from there, would you go on to say maybe that Brexit not only broke politics and the way that in the end the public have won, we've got what we wanted against the elite. Do you think it's also broken the media, the traditional media? Because both the BBC, ITV and Sky have kind of been behind the curve, haven't they? They got the election result wrong and they had faces like smacked bottoms. They got Brexit wrong. I mean, is there something radical going on at the moment? What's your view?
I think the establishment have been kicked in the teeth. They really have taken a kicking from the people. People have had enough of being told what to think by the establishment. And when I say the establishment, I don't just mean the House of Lords, the House of Commons, the usual suspects. I also mean the press, the BBC. I had to deal with the BBC, you know, when I was leader of UKIP in Scotland. And having to deal with them was a nightmare. They were evidently biased, utterly and completely. And they want to tell you what to think. And quite frankly, I think people want to think for themselves. And I think the internet has been a good thing in some ways. It's liberated people like yourself, like Nigel, like UKIP, and let us, given us the ability to bypass the traditional lumpen media, newspapers controlled by major international proprietors, and the BBC controlled by, well, some would say the Communist Party, but or Brussels, but called the Brussels Broadcasting Corporation or nothing. I think they were shown up to be the what they really are, you know, telling us what to think. That's not on.
Okay, so what do you think will happen now? Director General Tony Hall stepping down. It's going to be very interesting who gets that gig next. They've got a charter to 2027, haven't they? But a lot of people are thinking if Boris decriminalises the whole idea of not paying the TV tax and the growth of Netflix and Amazon, the BBC will be redundant before then. Do you think the licence fee has to go?
I think it does. I mean, I think I resented paying for the BBC, who are essentially not representing my views. And that's part of the charter. They're supposed to represent unbiased views of the, you know, right across the board. But they didn't do that. They absolutely pro-European Union, they always have been, and they have fixed ideas which are simply not my ideas and not the ideas of the vast majority. And I think that the day of the sort of patronising 1950s Lord Rees sort of stuff is over, quite frankly.
Okay, we're going to go in the second half of the show and talk about the woke generation, and we'll talk about alternative media as well. But whilst we're staying with politics and the mainstream, what about the Labour Party? Are they finished, David, after this absolute brutal savaging by Boris Johnson? Corbyn was useless. What do you make of the runners and riders for Who Wants to Take Over?
Well, I think the Labour Party has gone the way of the Whig Party. It's just ceased to be. It's not there anymore. I think the Labour Party is disintegrating. They're still in the days of, you know, people coming in when the factory whistle goes, you know, with, you know, a whiffet on a string and a cloth cap. That's all gone. People just don't do that anymore. They're totally irrelevant, as are the trade unions. Trade unions have become utterly irrelevant. And the leadership of the Labour Party, it's like, you know, swapping seats on the Politburo, you know, in the last days of Brezhnev. They're just irrelevant. Keir Starmer, well, I've seen him coming up for years, you know. He's Mr. Tony Blair light sort of character, but he's got no principles because he went along with most of what, you know, old Grandpa Lenin, or what were you called?
Corbyn.
You know, he just went along with his sort of ways of thinking. You know, he didn't rebel or do something. He just went along with it. So it's more of the same if you get in. And as for the Long Bailey person, she's frightening, I think. Another Corbyn.
What do you make? I mean, there's a big controversy with Shami Chakrabarti. We'll talk about Lawrence in a moment.
She has never been elected to anything.
No, I know
Shami
that. But when Shami Chakrabarti had a go at Lawrence Fox and basically said, oh, you don't think it should be a woman, and he took the mickey out of it. I mean, what do you think about this premise that whoever leads the Labour Party, it shouldn't be Keir Starmer, he should stand aside, pass the mic over, as Jess Phillips said, and let a woman go for it? What do you make of those kind of comments?
Well, I'm a great feminist. I'm all for women's rights. You know, women have fair crack of the whip. But I do not believe that they should be treated better than men. I think we should all be treated equally. What you wear between your legs is, quite frankly, irrelevant. And I do not believe in pushing women ahead just because they happen to be a woman. That is absolutely wrong. Mrs. Thatcher didn't require that, didn't, neither did Mrs. Gandhi. And Golda Meir didn't require it. So I really don't see why that's necessary.
Okay.
And people will just turn around and say, well, they're just second rate. Well, I don't believe that. I think women are first rate. It takes a certain sort of woman, as it takes in politics, a certain sort of man generally to get on.
Okay, in the second half, we'll talk more about identity politics because it is one of the subjects of the moment. But just before that, you talk about privilege. You talk about pushing people on. What do you make of Corbyn now? He's suggesting and nominating Burko and indeed Tom Watson to go to the House of the Lords. What do you think of that?
Well, he certainly helped him a lot, didn't he? So, I mean, I would not think that Mr. Burko is a good person to go into the House of Lords. I really think he didn't perform a neutral duty as Speaker. I think he was evidently biased. I don't think he deserves a title. I, you know, when I give tips to people, you know, waiters and restaurants, I don't just give a tip. I only give a tip if somebody does something. I think he needs to do something. You know, I don't get tips from my clients unless I do a little bit of extra work. Well, he hasn't done a good job. Why should he automatically be given a peerage? I don't think he should.
Tom Watson, should he go to the House of Lords?
I can't see why.
Thank you.
I really can't see why.
You don't need to say any more. That's brilliant. I'm talking this afternoon to David Coburn, the Brexit MEP, ex-MEP, with his views. We'll talk about independence for Scotland in a moment. Of course, we're going to talk about Meghan and Harry, and we're going to talk about the woke society and identity politics. It's all coming up in the second half of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. Don't dare go away.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt. Shooting from the Lip.
Right, here we are with the second half of today's edition. My special guest, David Coburn. It'd be better with you being Scottish, David. Have a quick chat about Nicola Sturgeon, wee Jimmy Cranky, as I call her. Has she got a better chance of getting independence now because of Brexit?
No, I think he's got a worse chance, because no one in Scotland, their right mind, wants to go into the European Union and be separated from the rest of the United Kingdom, including England, which is our largest market. It's just insanity. And I said this before, the one thing that will really destroy the Scottish nationalists is Brexit, and it has. I think it's only now a question of time. People in Scotland will vote for the SNP, because they think they'll get stuff, you know, they'll go down and kick the establishment in London and get stuff for Scotland. But when it actually comes to the vote on independence, they have no intention whatsoever of doing it. In voting for the Scottish Nationalists, they know there has to be a referendum, so they're not that worried. So that's why they vote the Scottish Nationalists. But they're not voting because they want independence. At least 60% or more of Scots, and I think if it really came to it, it'd be more like 70%, will vote against independence.
So it's a bit like the European elections, is it? People in Scotland vote for the SNP to give a kick in to the English establishment.
Exactly. And then, of course, you've got the few nationalists, what I call fundamentalists, the people with beards, with old porridge in them, who believe in an independent Scotland, but also independent from the European Union. And we all sort of live in caves with turf roofs, and that's just not going to happen. It's just too, unless they turn Scotland into Monte Carlo and turn it into a tax and gambling haven. Well, that sounds like a good idea, but they're never going to vote for that.
Okay, and just before we finish this part, Brexit Party and Cold Storage, what about UKIP? It's over, is it? Finished?
Well, I don't know. It's still kicking about. It's always good to have diversity, as they say. I believe that they're trying to clear up the mess that there was before. We were infiltrated by the extreme right when everybody thought, Nigel thought it was all over. It wasn't. I didn't think it was all over, but anyway, he did. And the eye was taken off the ball, and all sorts of right-wing people tried to get into the party. And with the connivance of a couple of our people, that's not been good for the party's name. And they really have to work very, very hard to get credibility back. I don't think it's impossible. Look at the Labour Party. It's come back from the grave more times than Count Dracula. So I don't see why they should come back in the future.
I guess you're not a member at the moment, is that right?
No, I'm not a member, no.
OK, let's move on. Let's move away from party politics for a moment. What do you make of the Harry and Meghan saga? Do you believe the UK population have been racist in their attitude to her?
No, I don't think so. I think they're very much the opposite. They've gone out of their way. I think everybody's gone out of their way not to be. And you know, the British people are the least racist people on earth. And we do our level best to make everybody welcome. In general, British people are pretty good at receiving folk from other parts of the world. We always have been. And we had the biggest empire the world has ever known. And you know, we governed and were friends with people from all over the world.
So do you think the media have treated her badly because of the colour of her skin? Or are they just treating her like they treated Kate or anybody enters the royal family, Diana, etc., etc.? And are people upset about the hypocrisy of Harry and Meghan? What is it that's caused this problem?
If you ask me, I don't think press have been too bad with them at all. There may have been some crass remarks, but, you know, it happens. But, you know, I think that Harry and Meghan have been massively oversensitive about the whole issue, and they've been looking to point fingers. I think it's disastrous the way they've behaved. They've just got, look at the way the Queen behaves. You know, she gets brickbats thrown at her. She never complains. She just gets on with it. And that's what they should have done. And deserting their post and wanting to keep the titles and trade on the royal name is simply not acceptable. I think the Queen's quite right to cut them off.
Do you think the Queen was good, the way she came down so hard on them after a few days? I think she was also judging public opinion, because I think the public is with Her Majesty, not with Harry and Meghan.
Absolutely, and I think that's very true. You get some people saying, oh, but young people this, young people that. I don't think young people have any different view for anybody else. You cannot just trade on the royal name. We want to be financially independent. Well, get a job, you know. that's the way to do it.
Yeah, but hold on, David, before you're too harsh, do you have any sympathy for Harry, that little lad lost his mum in such tragic circumstances, forced to walk behind the coffin? He's obviously got some psychological issues, hasn't he?
Well, he's not the only person that's lost his mother. Many people have. I think walking behind the coffin was quite right. I think I'm afraid I'm part of the stiff upper lip generation. I'm not keen on all this soppiness. I think he did a good job. I think that, obviously it was a very sad situation. But he's a soldier. He's been a soldier. He's done great credit to himself on that. So I don't think that's got anything to do with it. I think that he's just being self-indulgent and wanting to have his cake and eat it.
So you think then she's the Lady Macbeth character, do you? She's pushing this rather than Harry.
It seems that way to me. There is a word for it, but I'm not going to use it. Something whipped, I think, is the word. Maybe she should have made it clear to start with that, this is what she could expect. When they got married, they should have just said, look, we're not going to be part of the royal family. We're going to do our own thing then. That would have been better.
It all comes down to money in the end, though. Do you believe that we should be paying their security? People in Canada, I think it was 74% in the survey, said we don't want to pay it. What do you think about the British people? Should we be paying for them as private citizens?
No, if you become a private citizen, you become a private citizen. End of story. I don't think we should be paying for it. It's ridiculous. It's very expensive. I mean, some of the minor roles, to be quite frank, that's unnecessary as well. I think that they need to look into this security aspect. And I think Prince Charles is absolutely right about trying to slim down the monarchy just to the heirs, the spares. But, I think there's far too many people on the payola, and I just think it's not acceptable.
I think many people would agree with you on that. Let's talk about Meghan and Harry, though. Also, they are, I suppose they're the ambassadors, the queen and king of the woke, the so-called woke society. What do you make of that row that's come out this week? I mean, epitomised by people like Lawrence Fox and Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes. Will the pendulum swing back to common sense?
Well, all I can say is I'd vote for Lawrence Fox tomorrow. I think he's missed his opportunity. When he's finished treading the board, maybe he should get himself elected. I think he was absolutely right. I've got no time for political correctness. What I do is good manners is best guides to that sort of thing. But I do not believe that you should continually apologise for everything. It's pathetic. I think he was absolutely right about it. And, people have to, it's not how you're a woman or whatever. And he has every right to be as he is. I mean, as he said himself, there's an immutable thing that I am a man, perhaps upper class. There's nothing I can do about it. Anyway, who says, X, Y, and Z, they're essentially being racist themselves. And I'm sick and tired of all these people criticizing me. I think we need to stick up for the good old stiff upper lip and good old fashioned British values.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because everything starts with speaking as a gay man, speaking as a black person, speaking as a person of colour. Everyone has to identify before they make their point. Surely we just want freedom of speech. I don't give an absolute toss whether somebody's gay or a lesbian or black or anything. I don't care. Let's just discuss whatever they want to discuss. Yes?
Absolutely. And I mean, I've got my get out of jail card because you don't get anybody more homosexual than me. So it's wonderful because, the people say, you can't say that. And I said, oh, yes, I can, because I'm a puff. I can say what I want. I've got my get out of jail card. And I find that this whole thing is just ridiculous. I mean, it's irrelevant what you got to the privacy of your boudoir, as long as it's not highly illegal. And quite frankly, I too many people they should just man up a bit or woman up a bit or do something.
Okay, let's move on before we finish. And then obviously, because the woke culture are very keen on global warming, and we've had the face-off between Trump and Greta. What do you make of young Greta? Should she have been speaking at Davos?
I think she should be at school and learning things. And I'm not going to be lectured by some young girl about stuff, and I don't understand why other people are. And she's like one of these child saints they used to have in the Middle Ages, sort of Joan of Arc. Do I need to be lectured by someone who's just out of school or not even out of school? No, I don't. I don't know what this is about. She's also got what you used to describe as pushy parents. I guess.
It's odd, isn't it, that all the world leaders are certainly listening to her or paying lip service to her, that's for sure. And, of course, Trump deflated all of them by saying, I'm going to plant a trillion trees. Is he going to get re-elected? What do you think of this impeachment thing?
The impeachment thing's a joke because it's not going to happen. The Senate won't allow it. So that's irrelevant. I think he's going to get in. I think he's going to get in with a bigger majority. That's my guess. I think he's achieved what he said he was going to achieve. How many presidents have ever done that? Certainly Obama never did. You know, he's achieved what he said he was going to achieve and more. And I think that he may be unorthodox, but, you know, that's not a bad thing. I think he represents the people. The people, the ordinary working man and woman, like the guy. So it's a bit like Nigel, really.
OK, before you go then, HS2, do you believe it should be scrapped? The decision coming next week, your opinion?
Yes, it should be scrapped. It's a complete waste of money. They're better off improving the rail networks up north, between west and east, just so some fat Birmingham bureaucrat can get faster to his office. I also think there's something else that people keep missing. I think that if your communication links are linked to London better from places like Scotland or the north of England, what they might find is that all the goodness is sucked out of the north and down to London rather than bringing things to the north. I also think this moving the House of Lords to north of England, to York or whatever, is pretty daft.
Would you scrap the House of Lords just on that subject?
I'd change the way, you know, the people are chosen for it, I think. If they can't behave themselves, yes. If they're not representing the people, then yes, get rid of them. I think there's too many people there, legacy people, you know, from Tony Blair and all his crew. It's far too unrepresentative of the people. But if it comes to moving parliaments anywhere, they should move the Scottish Parliament to Nova Scotia. It's a great place to send it.
And on that note, we'll finish. David Coburn, thanks for joining me today. You've been listening to Sputnik International, Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, and my special guest, David Coburn. I'll be back next week with another guest. I'm not sure he'll be quite as forthright, or she as forthright, as David, but that was a cracker. Thanks for listening.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.